O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation.
Thank you.
my foes lie in wait for my life. Fierce men stir up strife against me. There they are, bellowing with their mouths, with swords on their lips. My foes lie in wait for my life. Fierce men stir up strife against me. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So, leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priest and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled
that it must be so. At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, return to the Lord your God. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, return to the Lord your God. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, return to the Lord your God. toward me evil for good, and hatred for my love. They encircle me with words of hate and attack me without cause. They reward me evil for good, and hatred for my love.
Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is that that struck you?" And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. When the day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both chief priests and scribes. And they led him away to their council, and they said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God." So they all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips." Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priest of the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priest and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him. But they all cried out together, "Away with this man and release to us Barabbas," a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they had asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will.
Thus says the Lord, "What have I done to you, O my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me. For I have raised you up out of the prison house of sin and death, and you have delivered up your redeemer to be scourged. For I have redeemed you from the house of bondage, and you have nailed your Savior to the cross. O my people." Thank you. gave me poison for my food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. Dishonor has covered my face. Reproaches have broken my heart. They gave me poison for my food, and for my thirst, they gave me sour wine to drink.
So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather 'this man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones was broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.
Thus says the Lord, what have I done to you, O my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me. For I have conquered all your foes, and you have given me over and delivered me to those who persecute me. For I have fed you with my word and refreshed you with living water, and you have given me gall and vinegar to drink. O my people,
I am not.
My spirit faints within me, my heart within me is appalled. He has made me sit in darkness, like those who are long dead.
I stretch out my hands to you, my soul lives like marshland.
My spirit faints within me, my heart within me is appalled.
Behold your king. Shall I crucify?
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions,
Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Says the Lord, what have I done to you, O my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? My people, is this how you thank your God? O my people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all have the inscription written over the Lord on the cross. John's gospel has this interaction between Pilate and the Jews we heard a few minutes ago. There they crucified with him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. And like so many things in the Passion accounts, God uses even wicked men to proclaim the truth. And Pilate's words speak the truth. What is written is written. God used Pontius Pilate to proclaim this truth about the Lord in this way. The Holy Spirit inspired these words to be written in all four Gospels and proclaimed to you. Written over our Lord was not murderer, insurrectionist, but the Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And this inscription is telling, and it shows you who your Lord is as he was hanging and died on Good Friday. Because you see, on this cross is not simply a common criminal. It's none other than God himself. His name, Jesus, means Yahweh saves. The one who created all things into existence. The one who is eternally the Son of God is nailed to this instrument of suffering and death. He is the promised one of old. He is the one who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, coming in the fullness of time, taking on human flesh without sin, and born of the Virgin Mary. This is Jesus. Jesus is on the cross. And you see, God is personal. He's knowable in Jesus. This Jesus, God in the flesh, is the one from Nazareth, a place of nothingness, of which it was said, "What good comes out of Nazareth?" Jesus came into the world. He dwelled in a real place. Jesus of Nazareth hung on the cross. And one of the speculative things we often ask or hear is, what does God look like? History Channel specials during this time of year try to use the latest technology to give a picture of what people think Jesus looked like. But the thing is, we have an image of who this Jesus of Nazareth is. The Bible reveals it to us. Listen to these words from the prophet Isaiah. "As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred, beyond human semblance. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." There's the image of Jesus of Nazareth. And who is he? He's the King of the Jews. Which is to say, he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord who has been promised. He is the Lord, and there is none other beside him. And here, he claims his throne on the cross. Because this is the day for which he came, and where you see God's glory and your redemption. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. His inscription reveals to you who your God is on this day. And understanding, knowing, and seeing God is only done through the crucified one. Absolutely everything in the scriptures point to this day, and as we will gather here in a few days again. The reason is because this day is the day of the week for your salvation is completed. This is the day of glory. Without Good Friday, there is no Easter. There is no forgiveness of sins. There is no eternal life. Without Good Friday, you have no mediator between you and God, and you stand bare and exposed and condemned. This is the day about God's wrath being appeased. If Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, didn't die on the cross, then God's wrath burns against you for all eternity. And so this inscription over the cross is what your Lord bore, because his law reveals who you are in your sin. So when you look at who you are in your sin, you know the inscription that you deserve. You know what God says about you, yourself. Liar, cheater, swindler, lazy, idolater, coveter, thief, failure, sinner. Because the inscription of sin is brutal. And what has been written is written. And so we take sin seriously. We examine our lives, we know the cost that is due, and to know God's judgment against it. God strips us bare and exposes us and our sin, which is ours, from the time of our conception and all that has been done and not done. It's to stare God in his face, to see his wrath against it, and rightly know the terror that we should have for transgressing his holy law. Good Friday always has an element of the fear of God, acknowledging who we are before him. Acknowledging that it's deadly serious. And so you should fear God when you see all that's before you in the readings today. Darkness, death, sin, crucifixion, they all proclaim to you what your sin deserves and the price that it cost. Sin is deadly, it's devastating, it wreaks havoc throughout your whole life. And so you go through this life with the old sinful man hanging around your neck and bearing that inscription which has been etched into your body and the fallen creation around. And it groans, it cries out as it suffers, as it hurts, as it dies. The season of Lent began on Ash Wednesday with ashes on your forehead and a proclamation, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. St. John wrote, Pilate said to them, take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. What a true statement. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, there's no guilt in him because he is God in the flesh. And so he and only he then can be that spotless Lamb of God, pure and holy, without spot and blemish. He alone can suffer and die, for he is fully man. Behold your Redeemer, who takes upon himself. Isaiah prophesied, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so today is Good Friday. It's the day payment is made, God's justice is carried out. That word good in Good Friday comes from an old word meaning holy. Today is set apart. And what does God say and do? Well, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Behold, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, crucified, and see that this is most certainly a price that has been paid in your place. This is all very real, and it's before you tonight. This is who you see as you ponder the passion of your Lord. You see your Redeemer. He goes like a sheep led to be slaughtered, yet he goes willingly, because he knows the cost. He knows the cost, but yet he loves you. The Father offered up his Son, for in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against you. And there you see then an inscription of what God in Christ has placed over you. Your inscription is the redemption and name of God. You have been crucified and raised with Christ and marked by the sign of the Holy Cross. Now in Jesus, sin doesn't hang over you. It doesn't define you. It's not inscribed over you. No. The Lord Jesus crucified for you has paid your debt. And your name is written in the book of life. Your inscription is the inscription and the mark of life. So now when the Father looks at you, he sees this Lamb of God who said it is finished, who paid it in full. And he looks at you, and what he sees, what he says is that you are righteous, you are forgiven, you are my own dear child. And this is what it is to know God's love. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved from him by the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we all be saved by his life. So see all of these things together for what they are, who Christ is, and what God has done for you. You are the labor of his soul. You are the spoil of the victory he has won. You are the pearl of great price he has bought with the price of his own blood. Everything points to this day and what has been done on this day. He's done it all. It's finished. Good Friday is your day where you see and know who your God is and you see him. He's Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, and he's crucified for you, and you are forgiven, and you have eternal life. And what a sight it is to see God in faith through his word today and here upon the cross extended. Lift up your eyes and see your redemption and know that you will one day lift up your eyes in glory to see him face to face forever. Because the thing about this day is that Easter is also on the horizon. And there's another inscription that's coming. That inscription of Christ is risen. And so this one here today, This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. On my heart, imprint your image. Blessed Jesus, King of Grace. That life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me is my life, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, graciously behold this your family for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men to suffer death upon the cross. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, you willed that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross, and so remove from us the power of the adversary. Help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may receive forgiveness of sin and redemption from everlasting death, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.